It is the monthly personnel committee meeting of the Rancho Marietta Community Service District. It's November 2nd at 07:30-ish. Calling to order, we're going to move to item number two. Tom, I don't know if it's you or another staff member. Consider findings result COVID-19 emergency.
Amelia's going to read something for us.
Perfect.
I'm just going to read what it says on the agenda. Consider finding that as a result of the COVID-19 emergency, one, meeting in person would present imminent risk to health or safety of attendees, and two, the meeting is authorized to be held by teleconference pursuant to government code 54953, subcode E1C. And after one of the things that I learned at the conference, Tim, was that we have to read this and have this as an agenda item for every meeting that we want to have in teleconference moving forward. So welcome to item number two for all our committee meetings.
Okay, so thank you. And so obviously for this week, we'll roll it out. And I would probably say until we get familiar with it, it might be you read that out and we move forward with it. Tom, if I'm not mistaken, this is what legal counsel told us was what we needed to have moving forward for the near future, I guess.
You are correct, Tim. And it appears from what Amelia has told me, if our next meeting is more than 30 days from today, we need to reread it. And if it's less than 30 days from today, we do not.
That's not correct.
Okay.
If it's more than 30 days from today, we'll have a slightly different agenda item that we'll read. And if it's less than 30 days, it'll always be this one. You and Randy or whatever members are on the committee just have to agree that you want to have this meeting on Zoom.
Perfect. Nope, no worries. Amelia, do you have any comments, chats, or hands from the public? Item number three.
I do not have any comments.
Perfect. Moving on to item number four, discussion on operator classification, job descriptions. I'm not sure if it's Tom or Paula on this one.
This will be actually going to be me and Mike, if he wants to chime in on this, because these are his positions.
Please. Go ahead.
So we currently have two vacancies available in the operator classifications. One of them is an operator in training, and one is an operator, which is the series, the 1 through 3. And so one of the things that we've been discussing is that we want to look at this classification and create a series so that we can bring some on board at the operator in training. And then,
Amelia, would you please mute everybody and then unmute Paula?
Done.
Thank you, Amelia. So with this position, we want to be able to have the operator in training be part of that series of the operator classification as a whole. And so that way, if we have two vacant positions and we want to bring an operator in training in and then hire someone in the 1 through 3 categories, we have the ability to promote that person out of the operator in training position once they've met all of their certification requirements. And so really this is just initiating the conversation. Obviously we would need to bring a updated job classification and discuss it with the unions. There will be no changes to pay at this point in time. Really it's just a matter of reviewing the job descriptions, making sure that the certifications are correct, making sure the job descriptions are correct, and possibly a title change. I want to open that up to Mike if he has any further comments or if I covered everything.
Yeah, I think that's most of it, Paula. I think, you know, if we just have a position that's just a training position, that really doesn't do us much good because there's really nowhere to go, you know, after they get there, you know, after they get, we want them to get certified and move on with the higher levels of certification. So at this point in time, I don't see it makes any sense for us to have a position that's limited to a trainee. And I think that, you know, if we can convert that to, you know, trainee up to level three, I think that helps us in the long run.
Anybody have any questions?
I muted Tim and Randy both, so I'm sorry, you'll both have to unmute yourselves. Tim, it's star six, and Randy, you can mute yourself. You can unmute yourself in the box.
I don't have any questions. It sounds like a good idea to me.
Tom, you're muted.
And I just want to reiterate this. In normal, in my experience, normally you would see a beginning to top step position in a series like this, block budgeted, that allows you to hire at the higher level, or if you find somebody who really wants to get a career going and come in as an operator in training, they're in a series where they can get their certifications, do more technical work here at the district, and grow and become part of this family over an extended period of time. Before the operator in training would have to apply for the operator one job when they basically that's what they were shooting for when they came on board. So I want to thank Paula and Mike for putting this together and seeing the reality of how better for us to be able to bring people on early on in their career and keep them for a long time.
No, that makes sense, Tom. Paula, thank you for that presentation. I guess my question would be, maybe I have two. The reason why we have the vacancy would be question number one. And then question number two, if we know that the end result is to be the certification levels that Michael is talking about, could we still not start somebody out from, say, an apprenticeship program and have it work through that process? The only concern I have there is we've just trained somebody at the expense and now they're moving on to another organization.
That's exactly what we want to avoid if possible.
I could probably feel that. I mean, the whole point is we might not be able to attract a certified operator. And so a lot of times you have to grow your own. And then it's my hope that we can create an environment here where people stay stimulated and want to stay here. There's always going to be someone that's going to train and go elsewhere. There's no stopping that. But what we can do is create an environment to where they will want to stay. And, you know, in addition, sometimes it's pretty darn hard to get a certified operator. So having flexibility of having the trainee be able to go all the way to level three, I think benefits us long term. And we do have some people that have been here 10, 14 years. So that's, you know, that's good news.
Perfect. That would make sense. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, Tim. One of the key things to remember is because this particular one of the positions that we have is strictly an OIT. And so that really creates a barrier for us to grow our own. And the reason for expanding it and roping it into the operator classification 1 through 3 is so that we can grow our own. And we're just going to continue that cycle of bringing an operator and training on board, training them, helping them get their certification, and then they'll find a position somewhere else, which is specifically what happened with this particular position.
Okay, thank you. That makes sense. Randy, and you're fine with all this?
I'm good.
Thank you. Then what I would say is staff, just take the next steps of working on the job description, the meet and confer process. And then when we're at that point, it can either come back to this committee, but I think at some point probably needs to go to improvements as well, so they understand all the potential and ramifications of it from that standpoint. All right, thank you. That was item number 4. Moving on to item number 5, discuss implementation of district schedule.
Yes, that's me as well. So we are currently working with the union to implement the new District 9880 schedule. We have completed schedules for the security staff and the water staff, and it's just a matter of a couple of meetings. So we expect to have this implemented fairly soon, at the latest January 1. So just wanted to give the Personnel Committee an update on the progress for this particular implementation. It's going to be an adjustment for a lot of staff, as well as for the residents having the door closed 2 days out of the week, or excuse me, out of the month. But we wanted to keep you updated on where we're at in the process.
No, very good. Makes sense. The only thing I would ask is, once we've got the schedule laid out and we're ready to implement it, obviously we'll do notification to the public. The other would be that we codify the process of, if somebody did show up at the district office, and I believe we now know from the South Gate perspective what's expected of them, and how we move this information forward from that standpoint. Because again, I almost see it much like if it turns out to be a quarterly process where it's an all staff training day or training half day, the same procedure would be in place with the South Gate. So I'm fine with that. Randy, any questions?
Nope, sounds good to me.
Thank you. Number six, district employee survey.
That is me as well. So the district employee survey is almost wrapped up. We are working with MRG to get some information from staff members. The first part of it was a survey, and the second half was individual interviews with all of the district staff. They have a few more interviews to complete, and they should be providing us with a report. We expect to have that presented to hopefully the November board. The survey questions, although I cannot reveal in great length, some of the top concerns are, you know, staffing concerns and, you know, tools and resources. And so those are some of the key concerns that our district staff have. And there's a lot of good feedback that we received based on the survey alone. And so it'll be really good information to get the actual report from them. So I expect to have that sometime next week. And it's been an interesting endeavor, I'll say that for the least. We had 95% participation in the survey. And for me, having conducted several of these types of surveys in the past, that's absolutely unheard of. 60% at best is what you typically receive, but we had 95% of staff respond. And the two staff that didn't respond were the two staff that left. So to me, in my eyes, that's 100%. So it will provide us with some really good feedback, and I'm looking forward to seeing the results. And I think it'll give us a good roadmap to where the district needs to go in the future.
No, very good, Paula. That makes sense to me. I think once we get the report back, if you would send it to Director Janko and myself before it becomes a board pack item, but I agree with you.
Yes.
Unless Randy has anything different, I don't think it needs to come back to the committee before it goes to the board. The other thing is, I think from a board perspective, we're probably going to parallel employees' concerns. As you used an example of staffing, that's a huge concern for the board of directors. So that does make sense. Very impressed with the 95% involvement rate. I agree with you. The ones that I've worked for organizations that had them, that's a phenomenal rate. So that says a lot. Director Janko, any comments?
He's on there. He's just muted.
Yeah, okay. I I was struggling because of my screen. Anyways, I assume this is a confidential survey. Do we know the responses? Whether the responses are from office staff versus field staff, or do we care?
So the way that this survey, actually this entire project has been set up, is that it's entirely confidential. What they are presenting with the survey was a series of questions, and it's really more of a statistical, what are our top five, top 10 concerns? You know, how employees feel about change readiness, leadership, organizational management, you know, they have tools and resources they need to complete their jobs, things like that. And then the actual interviews are five questions. They were half an hour long, and they met individually via Zoom with every staff member. And based on that feedback, what they're going to find is common themes. We want to keep it entirely confidential so that staff feel comfortable providing feedback. We want honest feedback, and you won't get that if you don't allow anonymity. I'm not saying that right, but if you don't allow it to be confidential, then staff will be hesitant to provide information. And there will be some common themes for each specific department. So there will be a designation for office staff versus water staff versus utilities versus security, but it won't be so specific that we could identify which individual team member is providing that contribution and that feedback. And so it's really just a matter of identifying overall as a whole the pulse of the district, and then within each individual department, and identifying areas of opportunities.
Got it. Thank you.
Paula, to Randy's point, I think I get where he's going, because so before I ask that question, when was the last time this was done in the district?
I'm not sure that I've seen anything done. I know that we did the water study recently, but that was more specifically geared towards just the water operations staff. And MRG came out, what was it, 6 months ago, Tom, maybe?
Yeah, about there.
So, but that was really specific to their operational needs and not necessarily leadership, organizational, change readiness type things. So I'm not sure that I've ever seen anything in any of the research that I've done, but this is completely district-wide and it covers a broad range of topics.
Yeah, and I'll confirm that. You know, I looked around for anything like this in the past, and it hasn't been done as far as I can see.
Okay. And so my thought process is, obviously, as we're moving the district forward and building the team, the feedback is very critical to us. I agree, Paul. I think we need to get a flavor of, from an operational standpoint, what sections they're in. At no point do I want to know, nor do any of the other directors want to know the individuals. I think as we move forward and the employees see that we're serious about things, the opportunity will be there for better lines of communication, input, those types of things. Because again, perception's reality, and admin might have a different staffing resource issue than operations. And so I think that's where Director Janko is going. And as we move forward, we just have to take a look at those items and react appropriately to the specific areas. Very good. So on this survey, I would probably say, again, once we get it completed, a copy to Director Janko and myself, and then I don't think it has to come back to this committee. We can just move it forward. Move it forward so that it can just go to the board agenda. That would be fine. Any other comments on that, Randy, before we move on to item 7?
Nope.
Moving on to item 7, director and staff comments, suggestions. I'm going to kick this to staff first.
No, I'm good this morning. Paula, Michael.
Okay.
No, I don't have
Michael anything. Or Paula.
We're good.
Okay. Director Janko.
I don't have anything.
Okay. My only couple of thoughts are, as we start to fill these positions, we just need to really start getting that consistency factor in place at multiple levels. And we're close. I've been talking with the general manager. I know that we're working on new reports, for example, on the water side of the house. We're still trying to figure out reports for the reserves. I think as we move forward and we're filling some of the key staff positions, I would really like to think we could have, maybe I'm too optimistic, but as we fill these positions, get these reports, at least the last best final, so that we can get them by the first of the year, and that would put us mid-budget year. So that's really my only comments on that. Amelia, any hands or chats?
No hands, no chats.
All right, I'm going to move on to item number 8. If I can get a second for adjournment from Director Janko.
Consider it seconded.
All right, thank you. Everyone, please have a good day. This concludes the Personnel Committee for Community Service District. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.